Welcome to Between Two Ovaries, your go-to for all things women's health.
I mean, a lot of people just say like, oh, my vagina.
Yeah.
And yes. That's
not your vagina.
No.
Well, it is.
We're here to cut through the confusion, bust some myths, and give you the facts straight from the experts.
You cannot still believe the amount of people that come to a gynecology clinic saying that they don't look right down there and they need something doing about it.
We're keeping it real, bringing you honest conversations about topics that matter to you.
Everything goes back to the menstrual cycle.
Yes. It's a low-risk procedure, but it's not a no-risk procedure.
From periods to menopause and everything in between, we've got you covered.
So whether you're here to learn, laugh, or just listen, you are in the right place.
As soon as I said it.
Hi everyone, welcome to this slightly different little episode, which is our first surgery special, and this one we have called Scoping It Out, a close look at hysteroscopy.
You're totally correct, and we wanted to do this because loads and loads and loads of women have hysteroscopies and nobody knows what it is, basically.
Yeah.
So we wanted to kind of give you a bit of a lowdown on what hysteroscopy is, why you might have it, how you can have it, and what information you might find out when you've had it.
Mm. Yeah. Does that sound about right?
That does, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're going to walk you through it. So what is a hysteroscopy? So it is a camera in your womb. It is... literally that. It is a camera in your womb. Not much more to say.
Yeah.
And we're done. No, it's a camera in your womb, and you will have it for different reasons.
Yeah.
So kind of broadly, you can have it to diagnose something and you can also have it to treat something.
Yeah.
Why would you have a hysteroscopy, Nick?
So you would have a hysteroscopy if you've got postmenopausal bleeding and your endometrium, so the lining of the womb, looked thickened. You'd have a hysteroscopy if you were having fertility treatment and it looked like you'd got a polyp or a fibroid in the lining of your womb. You'd have a hysteroscopy if your periods had really changed and we were a bit worried that the endometrium looked thickened again. So we're worried when we're doing a hysteroscopy about finding kind of an endometrial cancer. And realistically, most of the time, we do not find that at all. On the whole, even when people have looked like they've got thickened endometrium, so thickened lining of the womb on a scan, even when they're postmenopausal bleeding, they'll come in and we'll do the hysteroscopy and we're like, nah, it looks fine.
Yeah.
Or they've
That's
got a polyp.
Then.
Yeah, no. So like, I think it's really worry-provoking, stress-provoking, because on the whole, it's not a procedure that we do as like a routine, let's have a look and
just
see what's
check.
Going on.
Yeah.
And it also highlights that ultrasound is great, but not perfect.
Yeah.
So you might have an ultrasound scan for various reasons. You might have had a bit of postmenopausal bleeding. So someone does a scan. It might look like the lining of your womb is thickened, but then when you have a hysteroscopy, it's actually not. So ultrasound isn't perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It can help show something that's there, but the hysteroscopy is also a diagnostic test.
Yeah.
And also then at the same time, you can see what you see and you can treat it at the same time.
A lot of people get kind of put out in a sense because they've been told that they've got a polyp on their ultrasound.
Yeah.
And then they come for the hysteroscopy and you're like, oh, look, the cavity looks great, looks clear, can see both tubulostia. So those are the little holes that where your fallopian tubes will go out of, but we can't see into the tubes. And they're like, well, what do you mean?
I was told.
I have got a polyp. And you're like, well, if they're awake, like, you can see it on the screen, you've got no polyp.
Yeah.
You're not winking,
ultrasound.
No.
So ultrasound.
It's
not perfect, but this is much better at looking at what is inside your womb.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So when you said, if they're awake, can you do this procedure awake and asleep?
Yeah. So you can choose how you would like to have the procedure. So you can have the procedure ambulatory, so you're awake, you walk into the room that you have it in, and hopefully you walk back out of the room that you're having it in and you feel quite well afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
That procedure you can have with local anaesthetic or sometimes without local anaesthetic. I know you said, how do you get the camera inside the
room?
And we'll walk you through in a second. But sometimes when people have this procedure, they don't have any anaesthetic because we use such a tiny scope. We're talking about a couple of millimetres scope that people would tolerate the procedure and be happy to have the procedure without anaesthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And that would mean you could have something called vaginoscopy. So we use the camera to have a look where the cervix is and go through the cervix into the womb. So those people wouldn't have any anaesthetic, and that that prevents you from needing to have a speculum, which some people can find quite uncomfortable. So if you're having it under local anaesthetic, we can do local a cervical block, so anaesthetic into your cervix, or some people would have it and be put to sleep. Some people have a GA, so a general anaesthetic, where they have a tube down the throat, and some people have it under sedation. So you have an anaesthetist there protecting your airway, and you're heavily sedated, so you wouldn't remember anything, but you don't have the tube down your throat. So you can have it lots of different ways.
Is this a choice thing?
Yeah,
it is a choice. So you, if you need a hysteroscopy, the person who is going to talk you through the procedure and sign your consent form, because it's a procedure, so there are risks, which we'll talk about. We'll also talk to you about the pros and cons of having it awake and having it asleep, and it'll be person-centred. So say, for example, you're someone with lots and lots of medical conditions and a general anaesthetic would be really, really risky, then it might be a lot safer for you to have it awake, but with pain relief. It doesn't mean you will have no pain relief.
And with the local anaesthetic, is that usually an injection or is it like a gel?
It's an injection. So like going to the dentist, you have an injection into your gum, you have an injection into the neck of your womb, which gives you the same kind of block of pain receptors in the neck of the womb. You can also have an injection in the womb as well, so for certain procedures, which we'll talk a little bit more about. The injection into the neck of your womb helps to make it less painful when the camera's going through, but in some cases you can also give a little injection into the top of the womb as well to make it less painful if you're then treating something or doing something afterwards.
So there are lots of different pain relief options, and different clinics will have different pain relief options. So if you're coming through to have this procedure and you would like to think about having it awake, then you could ask what their pain relief options are, because it might depend who does your procedure.
So it's one of those advocate for yourself,
see what's going on, and have a little chat about what the process is at the at the place you're going to have it at, because I know some people use different inhalation gases. We've got gas and air that we use sometimes, so I think it's worth kind of knowing exactly what is going to happen.
And I think like the pain relief side of things is really important, because if you are considering having this procedure awake, it might absolutely terrify you to think about doing this awake and what it's going to feel like. But realistically, it's, you're very well supported. So if you do have it awake, there's a huge team of people who are literally there for you. You will be told to have some pain relief before you come. And that's various different types. You will have the option of having a block in the neck of the womb. You can also use gas and air during the procedure, and you will have someone there with you who is, you know, helping you through it, but also recognizing if it's too much for you and you need to stop. And you can say that at any point if you want to stop. That's fine.
And if you did have to stop, would you have to come back a different time?
Realistically, I think people are like, oh, can I just have it now under anaesthetic? And it's like, well, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, we can't.
No, if something else needs to be done, you would then need to come back.
But it's not an issue. That, like, again, advocate for yourself. It's not an issue. If this is too uncomfortable, then don't have it done. I just want to, like, and I'm sure we're going to repeat this a few times, most people that have this procedure ambulatory, so they're awake, have the procedure and they're like, oh, God, what have I been stressing about? Like, it was uncomfortable for a little bit, or actually it was fine, but I've been stressing about this for 2 weeks and I've been, like, looking on the internet and I've been doing this.
Don't do that. That's dangerous.
I promise.
The worst thing to do before these things, but everyone does it. Everyone does it.
So I do 10 of these ambulatory every Monday, and honestly, most people are like, oh, I don't know what I was stressing about. Now I'm really annoyed that I was so, like, just worked up about it.
It's the unknown, isn't it?
Also, must be a relief afterwards.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, no more stress.
So what actually let's walk you through what happens. So regardless of the type of anaesthetic you have, I think it's good to know what happens to you in the procedure. So if you're going to be awake, it's great to know what's going to happen. If you're asleep, it's also nice to know what happens. So generally speaking, you'll arrive at the hospital, you'll be checked in by the staff, they'll make sure that you're still safe to go ahead today, that everything's in place, like you've signed your consent form and all of that. And then, so you'll either be put to sleep and then be in theatre, or you'll walk yourself into a chair and then meet all the staff there if you're having it ambulatory. The first thing that will happen after you've had a chat with the healthcare professional who's doing it is you will take off your knickers, you'll have a little gown on, and you'll be sat on a chair. That's probably the weirdest part, because you're on a chair in the middle of the room and everyone's looking at you. So the point of that is that the person who's going to be doing the procedure does need to examine you to see what is going on. So if your womb is pointing forwards or backwards, then that's important to know. Also, if your womb is really bulky, then that might make you think there's more fibroids in there.
You sat upright in a chair.
It's a really cool chair where, you know, you can move back and lie down.
It's a recliner.
fancy chair.
So it goes up in the world, and usually kind of we do the procedure as at like kind of eye level.
Yeah.
Okay. So as not to break your back is the plan, but actually you end up in all of the positions trying to do these.
You as the patient, you're very much
I'm very much kind of like, are you comfortable? Shall we move the pillow? Mm-hmm. Should we do this kind of stuff? But for the person doing it, it can be not the easiest of procedures, but it's fine.
So you will be examined.
Yep.
And then the next thing is you might need to put a speculum in.
Yep.
So the speculum is the sort of plastic or metal tube that goes in the vagina, and you put it in so you can see the top of the, well, the neck of the womb. If you're having a local anaesthetic injection, then you will need a speculum for that bit. But then potentially you can take the speculum out and actually do the scope without a speculum in.
Yeah.
And you can, even if you're not having a local anaesthetic injection, not have a speculum at all and just do what's called vaginoscopy.
We really try to like speak to the patient, see how they're feeling, examine them, kind of work out what is best for both of us.
Yeah.
Kind of like so that I can do the procedure safely as the clinician, but also that the patient is as kind of comfortable as possible.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it is a lot of like it's just a lot of chatting and trying to kind of get to the bottom of like where, you know, it's going to be the most comfortable, but also a lot of chatting because chatting really distracts people.
It takes the mind off what you're doing.
I love it because it really knows them
as well.
So like we chat about all sorts of things. Usually talk about
hairdresser talk,
but just like loads of stuff, kind of like where they get their eyelashes done, where they're going on holiday. Mm. We talk about Maggie's holiday when she went to Mauritius and it was awful. And
Mauritius was awful.
We talk about like loads of different things.
Yeah, come with some topics.
Have a script.
Oh, they don't need topics. I've always got topics.
That's part of it. You know, distraction is also pain relief. So
I think it can make people feel a lot more comfortable as
well. I feel like
it's like silence, and you're like, someone is looking at me.
What was that noise? What did that do?
And it's that whole when you hold yourself really tense, which is what people do usually when they get in there, makes everything more painful, makes everything more difficult. So a lot of the time you kind of find yourself being like, right, take a deep breath in and relax your bum on the bed. And then like from there you can usually get people more comfortable.
Yeah.
Whilst this is going on, if you are in ambulatory, so you're awake, can you also see the screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And would you like talk people through what you're seeing?
Yes.
If you want to.
Yeah.
I feel like I would want to be awake just to kind of see
what's going on. Why am I like, I wonder what's going on?
I feel like I'd go to sleep, I'd be like, can you just record it?
Even the people that say, oh no gosh, I really don't want to look, I feel like most of them end up having a little look and being like, oh, that's where, like...
When else do you get to see the inside of your womb?
Yeah.
It's cool.
So when you've done the speculum and you've put the local in, then you would go with the camera. The camera, then you guide yourself, like you watch yourself the whole time so that you're being as careful, as gentle to the tissues as possible. The camera goes up through the cervix and you can watch yourself through the tube of the cervix and then into the womb. And then when you're in the womb, you're looking for landmarks. So the top corners, you should be able to see where the fallopian tubes come in. You can't see into the fallopian tubes, but you can just see where they come in. So they look like little holes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're kind of looking to see if there is anything else going on, so any polyps or fibroids. For you to be able to see, there is loads of water going. So people are like, oh, am I weeing myself? What's going on? So the uterus, so the womb itself, they're opposed to both the sides, so they're touching. So in order for us to be able to see anything, we have to put water in to make the womb kind of open up and we can see.
Oh, like
see.
A water balloon?
Yeah.
Does the water come out of the camera?
Yeah.
Just comes out the end of the camera.
Yeah. So it's kind of like guiding you a little way to get in and then seeing when you're in there as well.
Mm-hmm. So that can be a little bit of an unpleasant sensation. So even if you've had the local anaesthetic, so the cervix is a bit blocked, you might feel crampy when the womb is filled with water.
Because you've just put a load of water
in it. And you've been stretched.
So that can be I'd say most people seem to feel it and note the sensation, but not necessarily in lots of pain.
Or they can be kind of like, oh, what was that? And then they're like, feeling? Oh, it's settled now. Because it's that whole, like, your womb's kind of getting used to something.
And you can, again, use gas and air during that time. And other things as well, you can have medication that helps the womb kind of relax as well, like reduce its spasming. Mm-hmm. So there's lots of other options as well.
How does the water come back out?
Yeah, we'll get onto that. Okay. So, but if you go in and there is nothing to see, this procedure can be over with in, like, actual seconds.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
And have
so, like, in, I've looked, I've seen my landmarks, I've taken a picture, I've come back out. Like, honestly, seconds. And that's when people are like, are you joking
me? Did you
do
your job?
Is that it? But you can also have an operation as part of the procedure. Mm. So these scopes are really clever. They've got operating channels on the top. So what we do is we can put the scope in, and then if there is a polyp or something that needs removing from the lining of the womb, we can put tiny little graspers and tiny little scissors down the operating channel and remove the polyp that way. So that's one of the ways we can do it. If there is a fibroid that's a bit bigger, or if there's a polyp and it's kind of not on a nice little stalk, or kind
like
of
a few polyps,
or a few polyps, or you're just not happy with how the endometrium looks, you might want to get a bigger sample so that you can use something different then. So you can use a device that will remove that in its entirety. Where we work, we use a MyoSure. Different clinics use different things, and that looks, and that's how I say to the patients, looks a bit like Pac-Man. So it's like
it like chews away at the fibroid or the polyp.
So
it
chews it up, but also it's sucks it into the machine at the same time.
So you're not left with bits and bobs.
Yeah, they're not floating.
So you can see the vision all the time.
Yeah.
So that procedure takes a little bit of a minute. We've got to ask the nurses to help us, like, set it up and find what we need. And so there's, like usually a little bit of chatting for a couple of
and
seconds.
And do you leave the camera in whilst
No, take it out.
You get a break.
You get a little bit of break. Set everything up, make sure that everything's right. And then we can use the MyoSure to kind of remove the polyp or endometrium or fibroid or whatever is in there. And that procedure, sometimes removing a polyp, again, takes seconds because it just gets eaten up and sucked in at the same time. But if it's fibroid, we've said before, fibroids can become quite calcified, or they're fibrous tissue, so they're quite hard, they're tough, and that can take longer to do. And it's that whole, like, open discussion. If somebody is awake, are you happy for us to do this procedure? We like, you know,
and if you need a little break, then you can have a little break. If you want some additional pain relief and, you know, you're in pain, then that can be sorted. There's it's nice to be asleep, isn't it, because then you don't feel anything, but if you're awake, there are pros to that as well. And you can communicate with us, and we can communicate with you and see, we're going to be looking at you the whole time to see how you're coping. Even if you're silent, but, you know, clearly in lots of pain, we're going to notice that and check that you're okay.
We're pretty much just chatting the whole time.
The risks, which obviously, just to mention, so in treatment, you mentioned removing polyps and treating fibroids and polyps. You can also, in this sort of setup, you can do so ultrasound treatment of fibroids. You can do in this setting as well. And also something called endometrial ablation, which is where if you are someone that has problems with bleeding or and you do not want any children, or you know your family's finished, you can have a procedure where you have the camera, and then we would put in a little device that fills the cavity and gets really, really hot, and then that burns away the lining of the womb. Then it sticks down together, and you then hopefully will not have periods going forwards.
Yeah.
So it can help treat heavy bleeding.
Seals it.
Yeah, kind of. It burns it together.
It seals the edges. It doesn't seal it together.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there'll still be a cavity in a sense, because there's something that's gone in it and come back out.
Yeah.
But the endometrium will be sealed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the theory. It doesn't always work. That's the theory behind it. It works
it's
in
an
a
option
lot of people.
For some people.
But
not if you want to get pregnant.
No.
You need the endometrium.
You do need the
And you actually can still get pregnant as well. So that's not contraception. If you do have that, you
Well, it's not
a
wow, because the problem is if you get pregnant, then the placentation, so the placenta and the growth of that is usually very very abnormal.
But you would be talked to about that in the... So risks. It is a low risk, but it's not a no risk.
Yeah, so
Dr. Tempest.
That's literally what I say to everybody that comes through. Although this is a procedure we do all the time, it's a low risk, but it's never a no risk procedure. For every 1,000 women that come through, 2 will have a serious complication. Serious complication could be damage to something up and inside your tummy, so outside of the womb. Mm-hmm. So if we've done a perforation, put a hole in your womb, which we shouldn't do, but sometimes can happen, and we're outside of your womb, there could be damage to something outside of your womb, or a serious infection. If we're putting loads of water into your womb, which is what we're doing so that mm-hmm. we can see, it's going to get flushed out of the fallopian tubes and into your pelvis. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've got an infection in your fallopian tubes and I've just flushed it out, or an infection in the lining of your womb and I've just flushed it out, you could have a chance of a serious infection.
Mm-hmm.
So although it is a low-risk procedure, and it is, we do these all the time, and we definitely do them in ambulatory all the time for patients that literally are not suitable to have a general anaesthetic. Mm-hmm. So these are your really, really high-risk people. We're doing that in an ambulatory setting. There's still a chance of risks. Yeah. Low risk, not no risk.
Yeah. And you can, so we don't routinely give antibiotics when you do this procedure, but if someone's got a risk of infection, then you can cover them with antibiotics to help reduce the risk.
Mm-hmm. And we also, like, everybody is, you know, it's not just like a clinic that you walk into, it's a clinic that you're checked in by a professional.
Yeah.
The team that we have in Liverpool is amazing. Like, truly amazing.
No, they are.
Yeah, they are. They're so fantastic. All the nursing staff that we work with are amazing. And they will flag anything that they're worried about. And they also, because they do these procedures all the time, they're amazing actually in the procedure room as well, getting everything sorted for us. But they would flag and look for all the observations before. So they're looking at your blood pressure, they're looking at your pulse, they're looking at your BM, so your sugars if you're diabetic. Okay. Like, we shouldn't be doing it if the sugars are really uncontrolled. Mm-hmm. We shouldn't be doing it if the blood pressure is really uncontrolled. So we're trying to mitigate the risks, but definitely we can't make it a no-risk procedure.
And the other kind of benefit of ambulatory hysteroscopy, if that's right for you, is that because you're awake and you can communicate with us, you're actually less likely to get complications like a perforation. When you're asleep, obviously, you're not going to be able to tell someone, that hurts. But if you're awake, then you can tell us, and actually there is a lower risk of a perforation in an ambulatory hysteroscopy when you're awake compared to when you're asleep. It's really low risk anyway.
Yeah.
But it's not no risk.
Yeah. She's getting the light.
I say it to everybody. But if you're someone that can't tolerate a speculum, has never had a smear, and somebody's talking to you about ambulatory, so being awake for a hysteroscopy, just say, like, this is not going to be for me.
Yeah.
Like, we're not in the business of hurting people, traumatising people, and making people
you
have things
people
to...
Be
oh, my God, have it under general anaesthetic. Yeah. And I operate under general anaesthetic as well, and we have lots of people that have hysteroscopies under general anaesthetic.
It's really common to have it under a general anaesthetic, and either option is fine, and if you choose a general anaesthetic, no one's going to be like, you are. But ambulatory hysteroscopy it's a little bit more new, so I think it's probably something that people don't know as much about. So it's, and also you're awake, so it's quite interesting to know what's going on and to know what's going to happen to you. But either option is absolutely fine, and it's your choice.
I think it's great that you give the option for people to choose.
Yeah, I think the open dialogue at ambulatory is amazing, because it means that you can literally tell people and show people, and we can have a discussion about whether, say, for example, a Myrina would be suitable or not, whether the Maya showroom removing that fibroid is suitable or not. And you're not having to wake someone up and book them for another procedure, or it's kind of like...
You can sort of get more done in one.
Better.
Yeah, definitely. Because it's like a, let's see what we see, and then we can make an actual decision about what we're going to do, because you're going to be awake, so we can discuss it, which I think is really good.
Yeah.
So following this procedure,
what's
it like afterwards? Do people get pain afterwards? Is there any recovery?
Yeah, so people can be a little bit, have a little bit of crampy pain, which we can, obviously, if people are uncomfortable, we give you more medications. Some people are totally fine and they're like, can we go home from here? and you're like, no, you've got to go and sit and have a cup of tea and a biscuit and we go do some more observations. medications.
You must have an NHS biscuit before you go home.
You've got to do all that things before you go home. Mm-hmm. So different people are completely very different. You're going to have a bit of bleeding. Well, first of all, you're going to have loads of water that will come out.
Yeah. So yeah, you didn't mention how it comes out.
It's not like there's no bung in your cervix, so the water will just literally come out. So when you stand up, pretty much the water comes out.
I mean, it's not a large volume. If you think about how small your womb is, it's not a huge volume. No. But a little bit of fluid down there does feel like quite a lot, doesn't it? So you might be like, whoa, what's happened?
And it's that thing that you'll have a little bit of bleeding, but most people don't bleed very much at all. But it's that kind of, if you spill, 5 mils of red wine on a cream carpet, you're like, oh my gosh,
everywhere. It's a bucket of red wine. And also, I think if blood is mixed with water, it might look like a lot
it
larger.
Just looks all of the blood, but it's usually not at all. Yeah. So you'll have a bit of bleeding. And we advise people to use pads, not tampons, to decrease infection risk, and no intercourse, no swimming until you've stopped bleeding.
And that usually was within a few days, isn't it? But it could be up to a couple of weeks, and that's normal for it to be a little bit longer.
Baths.
Yeah, baths is fine.
Baths. So it's more about the chemicals.
I think having a quick bath is totally fine.
Maybe not.
Don't
hot
douche.
Don't go in a hot tub.
The other thing is, if you do have periods, then and you've had a hysteroscopy and some treatment, your next period might be a little bit different to usual. It might be a bit delayed, and that's quite normal as well. So don't worry about that.
No. Mm-hmm. And then the results, because most people would have a biopsy when they have this done. Some people don't actually even have a biopsy. So if you go in with a camera, it's someone who's got postmenopausal bleeding, and you're like, "This is something I cannot get a biopsy," then you wouldn't need a biopsy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Biopsies take 2 to 4 weeks to come back. If you haven't heard anything quickly, then it's probably totally fine, and we kind of get in touch with the results for these just to reassure basically.
So that was a quick walk through hysteroscopy.
I hope that's kind of informative for people. I think it will kind of hopefully allay some fears.
And especially if they come to see you, they know it's just a chit chat.
Or bring the chat.
You bring the chat.
She does. She never runs out of topics. Do we have
any questions?
We got a few. I think we have touched on some of them.
Okay.
So people have been asking what it's used to look for, and I guess we have addressed that. With fibroids and polyps?
So usually it's symptoms, isn't it? So it's if you're postmenopausal and you've got bleeding,
mm-hmm.
if you're postmenopausal and for some reason you've had a scan and the endometrium looks thicker than it should be,
mm-hmm.
if you're premenopausal and you're having abnormal bleeding that's going on for a long time, you might have a hysteroscopy, or anyone who's had a scan that suggests there might be a fibroid or a polyp that's causing problems. Would put it, and the fibroid would have to be in the cavity.
It's definitely like a mixed bag that we see.
Most of the other questions were things that we've answered, so about what it's used to look for and general anaesthetic or local anaesthetic. But there is a myth as well that we found that said that that it can diagnose endometriosis.
It was a really good question, though, because a lot of people that come in say, oh, so I've had this scan and I've got a thickened endometrium, but I've also got an ovarian cyst, so will you be looking at that as well today? And my stock answer to that is that if we can see your ovarian cyst, then we're in the wrong place, because it means that we've perforated the womb. So it means that we're outside that cavity of the womb, which we shouldn't be.
Mm-hmm.
All we should be able to see is the tubes that your fallopian... the holes that your fallopian tubes come into the womb in, so literally just black dots, we can't see anything else outside your womb.
No.
So we wouldn't be able to see any endometriosis that was... So endometriosis is the lining of your womb outside of your womb.
Mm-hmm.
So we wouldn't be able to see... hopefully anything outside
of we're in entirely the wrong place to diagnose endometriosis, because we're looking at where the endometrium should be.
To diagnose endometriosis, you'd need a diagnostic laparoscopy.
And they are similar work.
A different procedure, which we will do a little scoping into at some point in another surgical special.
And we have an entire episode on endometriosis essentials. Which if you're interested in endometriosis, have a listen to that as well.
Perfect.
Okay, well, I'm happy.
So,
quick disclaimer. So everything that we've said today, they are our own opinions. They're not affiliated with where we work. And none of the information should be taken as medical advice.
Yeah, please make sure you're following us wherever you're listening to our podcasts.
And you're following us on our social medias at Between Two Ovaries. And if you do have any questions we've not touched upon, happy to answer those.
Thank you for listening. And hopefully we'll see you in our next episode as well.